An intriguing fresh glimpse at a slightly improved unemployment picture.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Jeremy Hobson. Welcome to the Morning Open, our look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. A couple of positive rays ought to be cracking through the recent gloom over the stock market, so where's Wall Street? Still anxious, it seems. The Dow is down 174 points, 1.5%. The Nasdaq and the S&P 500 have fallen nearly 2%. The brighter news on the unemployment claims doesn't seem to be helping those claims. What do you know? Dipped last week to 400,000. That's the lowest level in 4 months. And in the face of all the recent headwinds, General Motors was able to double its quarterly profit to $2.5 billion. You can credit the good price that GM is finally getting for its cars and trucks. Let's look deeper at those unemployment numbers with Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesirow Financial, on the line with us from Chicago now, as she is every Thursday. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
Isn't that 400,000 level kind of the tipping point? More jobless claims than that is bad, below that generally good?
Absolutely. The good news is we're now moved back to the 400,000 level. That is a level that's more consistent with 100 to 150,000 in terms of job growth, which would be up significantly from the virtual zero we saw in June. We're not going to see that in July's numbers, but as we move through the summer, we'll begin to see it. That's the good news. Of course, the bad news is it's still basically treading water. That's not enough to take down the unemployment rate. So even as we get back to those kinds of payroll levels, it will still be a very tough labor market, and the continuing claims, which is sort of a misery index out there, continue to rise.
But the market is indicating it's still worried. How does this jibe with the notion that the economy might be slowing down?
Well, I think the issue is the economy has slowed down. Revisions to GDP really underscore that. And what we're seeing out there is that our ability to keep the economy going through stimulus measures, whether it be fiscal or monetary stimulus, are starting to run out. You saw the Bank of Japan trying to do more measures today, Switzerland trying to do, central bank trying to do more measures today, and many people are looking to the Fed to carry the burden of stimulating the economy further. But frankly, the bullets in our arsenal for fighting the slowdown down in growth are starting to run out.
Very quickly, though, does that signal that central banks are back in the financial driver's seat?
They certainly are back in the financial driver's seat. I'm not sure they ever left, although they weren't as visible for quite a while. And that is a difficult situation for them because they don't have as many options as they once did open to them. In fact, the European Central Bank has said, basically, we're not going to try to do much today.
Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial, thanks.
Thank you.
Here's the kind of profound question that corporate execs at Kraft Foods have been wrestling with. Do Cheese Whiz and Oreos go together? Kraft is the latest U.S. company to announce it's splitting into two separate firms, just like oil giant ConocoPhillips and cereal maker Rawcorp have recently decided that they have become too big for their own good and that a corporate divorce will increase profits. Here's Marketplace's Gregory Warner.
Kraft Foods has amassed one of the largest food and beverage empires in the country. Oscar Mayer is Kraft, Kool-Aid is Kraft, Jell-O is Kraft, and Kraft now thinks it can get more value by splitting that company into two. One company will market snacks, like Oreos, Cadbury chocolates, and Trident gum. The other will market the stuff you eat when you're sitting down for a meal, like Miracle Whip, stovetop stuffing, and Kraft cheese. Harry Balzer is a food analyst with NPD Group.
The snack market is a different category than the main meal market. The snack market can be in-home just as much as it can be an away-from-home market, where the grocery business is mostly an in-home business.
And the snack business is more international. A year and a half ago, Kraft bought Cadbury in the UK, giving it access not only to European markets, but to Turkey and Mexico. According to a company statement, the new $32 billion snacks business will make three-quarters of its sales overseas, with a special focus on something called instant consumption channels. That's industry jargon for gas stations, convenience stores, and kiosks. I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
Another big corporate name making news today, Sony. That company is heading for its eighth straight year of losses in the TV-making business. Today, it ruled out dumping its television division. Sony says TV remains a core business. At the same time, it concedes its next-generation PlayStation won't be ready for the holiday season in the U.S. or Europe. That's a crucial sales period for game console makers.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. And by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet, Reputation.com.
The annual hacker convention known as Black Hat is now in full swing in Las Vegas. Every year, thousands of hackers and security professionals gather in the desert Mecca. As Marketplace's Steve Henn reports, one researcher plans to give a talk today outlining how easy it would be to hack high-frequency trading operations on Wall Street.
High-frequency traders buy stocks low on one market and sell them for a fraction of a penny more on another.
The speed that we're talking about is insanely fast. You know, you think about fast things in your world, and you start thinking about things like blinking your eyes.
James Arlen at Push the Stack Consulting says these trades are 10 times faster than that. Computers make all the transactions. Microseconds are the difference between making a profit and getting hosed. So in the last few years, traders have put their servers in the same secret building with the New York Stock Exchange computers, and they've invested big time in building the fastest computers possible. What that means is they've stripped their trading software and hardware down to the bare bones. If these computers were cars, there would be no seatbelts, no roll bars, minimal security. Hacking made easy.
Easy peasy.
And Arlen's convinced someone, somewhere, who has access to these networks is going to try. In Las Vegas, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Finally, there's a new ringtone swiftly gaining popularity in Egypt. Not the latest hit song or some weird sound effect. What's captivated the Egyptian people this week is the trial of ousted President Hosni Mubarak. And it seems people are turning a clip of his denial of all the charges he's facing into the ringtone to have on your mobile phone. The ailing defendant spoke from behind bars on a gurney.
I deny all these charges and accusations categorically.
Okay, so maybe it doesn't have that much of a catchy beat, but an Egyptian newspaper reports the phrase has gained instant popularity with Egyptians free of his regime. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The internship, not just for college students anymore, you know, but who has time not to get paid?
You can spend 20 hours a week in an internship and then spend the other 20 hours a week looking for a job.
I'm Kai Rizdal, non-traditional interns and the traditional numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.